Welcome to Career Tools. This week, DISC, email, and what to do with combination profiles. Here we go. We've talked about DISC for a long time. We've talked about email for a long time. Our email casts are some of the most downloaded. And when we do DISC and email together, we've already released a series of casts about how to deal with a D or an I or an S or a C.
Exactly.
But the question we always get is, okay.
But what do I do with the people that are a bit of both?
Yeah, a high D, high I, like me, 7711, or Mike. Mm-hmm. Who's a 7137 or 136 or something like that.
So he's DC.
Yeah, he's a high DC, right? Pretty common.
Uh-huh.
Particularly for a lot of our listeners, right? We have a lot of high D, high C listeners.
Yeah.
What do you do when you have both? Do you try to write to both or do you pick one or the other?
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some guidance.
Exactly. So we're going to go over just how you get the data first and how you make the decision about how you're going to talk to somebody.
Which comes from their email, surely.
Exactly.
Yeah, good, good.
And then we've got high DI, high DC, high SC, and high SI, and we're going to go through each of those.
Good.
And we missed out DS and
IC
because they're so unusual.
Because a high D, high S is somebody who's both assertive in task and reserved in people. They're the cross purposes of the opposite corners of the circle. They are rare, less than 1%, I think.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Good.
So you're more
like, if you get one of those, it's hard. Yeah.
Exactly.
Good. So the first thing we need to do, before we jump to the conclusions that we're going to make some recommendations are based on a lot of our experience looking at emails, but people also ought to look at the emails they're already getting from their boss or their peer or their subordinate and get a sense of if, in fact, there's a style in email that's different from what their profile says, that would be the smart thing to do.
Exactly.
Okay?
My nature is to be very short, but in email, I'm longer just because I want to be polite. And I've tended to find that my short emails don't give the right impression. So you probably couldn't tell what I was from my emails. But if you replied in the style that which I email you in, then you'd be right. So,
right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's important to look at actually what you're getting and not just make an assumption.
So rather than sitting here and saying, okay, for instance, you report to me, I'm a high DI. Rather than you sitting there going, oh, should I make this mail a D or an I? You go and look 50 of my emails.
Mm-hmm.
What would you tell people about how I skew? Forget about what the guidance will give in general.
Yeah.
What guidance can you give
when
them?
When you're doing email, you're all business.
High D.
Yeah, high D.
Yeah.
If you get an email from a stranger or from one of our listeners or from a manager, then you want a high D email. Even though once you get to know people, you're more high I, your emails are all D.
Yeah, and part of that is volume. Right?
Yeah,
the
absolutely.
Amount of emails, I'm trying to get through them all, and I'm pretty short and pretty direct. And some people receive it as rudeness.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the intent, but nevertheless, that's how it comes across. Yeah, I think it's important to keep in mind that DISC is about tendencies. It's not about a label. It doesn't say you are this or this is who you are.
Mm-hmm.
It says, in most situations, left to your own devices, not thinking, you'll tend to behave this way. So it's not fair for people to assume that what we're about to say is true, because it's not true and so for truth or falsity or right or wrong, so much it is our guidance about where the tendency might tend to lean when there are balanced tendencies in somebody's profile.
Exactly. We're giving you a hint.
Yeah. Okay.
Almost.
I think you and I have talked, and I think one of the issues is that people will sometimes tend to do opposite of what we might say in this cast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Particularly in email, you know, because even the high I's and S's who might not normally send you a longer email on phones, on using their iPad, email has tended to get shorter as we use less keypads.
Right.
So
your recommendation is to review some of their emails.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. And everybody complains that they've got too much email, so there should be
this is a perfect,
plenty of data out there, right?
And what we tell people all the time, when we teach DISC, what we say is, regardless of whether they have a combination profile or not, search for all the emails from that person, put them in a special folder with that person's name, copy them into that folder, and then read them.
Mm-hmm.
And use our guidance about what D's and I's and S's and C's tend to do in email, and it generally will pop out pretty quickly. And that works for combination profiles as well. If I'm a high D, high I, you would still ignore that for now. You would take 50 of my emails, put them in the special folder, and you'd go, oh, he may be a high DI, but I know the one thing I ought to be doing when I talk to him in my email is do what he does with me, which is high D back.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, good.
So we've given you four things to particularly look for that tend to give you a hint as to what people are
a queue. Yeah. Rather than looking at everything.
Yeah. If that's too much, then look to see if they use a salutation. So do they say, do they have your name? Do they have dear Mark, your name?
Dear Mark, hi Mark, howdy Mark, yo
yeah.
Mark.
Yeah.
What's up Mark?
Or some people just use a name.
Or hey dude, or just Mark.
Yeah. Right?
And some people, a salutation, meaning using your name to start the note.
Exactly. And some people do and some people don't. So that's one indication.
Okay.
Is their email long and chatty or short and to the point? So some people are all business and some people include things like, I remember talking to you, or do you remember the Christmas we had? Or how was your weekend? Those kind of things. So there's those people and then there's the people that are all business. So
the classic example is Mattel, who recently started work here at Manager Tools, sent me an email, something to the effect of, do you want to do this thing that this person is asking for? And I wrote back, no. And she called me later. I was in an airport and she said, is everything okay? I said, fine. And she said, well, you seem short. I said, on what? I said, in this email. And I said, well, what did you say? Well, I ask you this. And I said, well, what did I answer? Because I'd already forgotten it.
Uh-huh.
And you said, no. I said, well, I didn't seem short. I was short. And she said, oh, so you're upset. I said, no, it was two letters. By definition, it's short. But you're inferring something that's not true. Mm-hmm. This is as efficient as I could be. I don't need 5, 10, 15, 20 flowery words to tell my assistant, I assume you ought to know to translate. You're not going to just send them my forwarded no. Mm-hmm. You're going to say them something polite, but I don't want to do it. And by the way, they're not going to pay me and they want me to fly somewhere and we just don't have time for that. But she inferred something that was not true simply because I didn't say, Mattel, thank you so much for asking. I'm happy, right? Because she's more of an S and C than you or I.
Yeah.
Right?
Whereas I would have thought, great. Yes, no question. I got a no. Excellent. Moving on.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So that's part. Do they use bullets and bolding or not? So high C's tend to use bullets and bolding and other ways to organize their data.
To make it easy to see the key points.
Exactly. I's and S's tend to be more about the people and therefore a bit of a stream of consciousness.
I'll tell you something else I have found. This is not in the list, but it's something that I'll just share from my experience. I find that long sentences that tend to be a little bit run-on, a little bit ungrammatical, although the definition of ungrammatical today is whacked out of its mind. But anyway, you know, people start clauses in the middle of a sentence, parenthetical clauses, and they don't finish clause set off by a comma with no second comma. And it's like, I can't read. I literally cannot read it. A friend of mine sent me a note recently about along the lines of the panda who goes into the bar and eats shoots and leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And because pandas eat shoots of bamboo and leaves of bamboo. But if you change that and you put some comma in there, eats comma, shoots comma, and leaves, you think he shot somebody with a gun. And there's a play on words on the internet, which is, woman without her man is nothing.
Uh-huh.
Except that, if you read it differently, if you put that as woman, colon, without her, comma, man is nothing. It completely changes it, right? It's a function of how we write, and most people have lost some of that ability to do really good grammar. But I've discovered the long, rambly sentences tend to be more from the I's and S's.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit less structured, a little bit less crisp. The more commas I get, the more I see it in I's and S's, and the less I see it in D's and C's. I see almost no commas from D's. I do see commas and C's, but when I see a comma with a C, it is grammatically correct. It is setting off visually that if you read it, you would set it off with a pause, that parenthetical statement, that clause in the middle of a sentence. So comma is something else I look for. Okay, the rest of the list, what else?
Okay, and then the last thing on the list is, do they sign off with their name or not?
Okay.
So again, that's something that D's and C's, D's definitely don't do names.
No.
I's and S's do names.
Right, because it's about the person and not about the idea a lot.
Exactly.
Okay? Good.
And so it's not everything, but there's four kind of hints that if you're looking at an email, if you respond using the same, so if somebody's given you a salutation, you give them a salutation back. If their email is longer, you send something longer back.
Yeah.
If they use bullets, you use bullets. If they sign with their name, you sign with your name. If you follow that, you're more likely to be communicating in their style.
Yeah, and you won't, it's not as if you'll become a perfect communicator. We don't teach that DISC, the concept behind changing your communication behaviors makes you a great communicator. But for most of us, eliminating the chance that we're a poor communicator will make you a reasonably effective, if not a highly effective one. We're not shooting for Churchillian grace here or Lincoln-esque sentences of perfection, what we're searching for is the avoidance of miscommunication and the conveyance of clarity. Mm-hmm. And if you're speaking in the wrong tone, a la Mattel, who exactly. literally spent 5 minutes, which is a wasteful productivity thing, right? It's just you just wasted that time. So good. Okay, good. So let's talk about the patterns we've got. High D, high I.
So a high D.
Somebody like me, yep. very outgoing, very, very energetic, very forceful, tends to be assertive. If there's a question, I'm much more like Jack Reacher than I am like some sort of analytical person. Although a high D, high I can be both assertive when it comes to tasks, crack the whip, make it happen, and also assertive when it comes to people, shaking hands, smiling, eye contact, really being forceful. Okay, mm-hmm. good. All right.
So in emails, if you're pretty sure someone's a D, combination DI, then an email tends to, that your email needs to have more D elements than I. I's in general are not fans of email. They'd rather come up to you and mm-hmm. have a chat. They'd kind of rather give you a phone call. They'd rather have a face-to-face conversation.
Right.
So when they are doing email, the high D kicks in so that they can get right. through that email.
They feel like they cannot be themselves in email as much. And so they tend to be a little bit more driven to get through it.
Okay? Exactly. That's been my experience as well. They can go back and do okay? the stuff they enjoy.
Right.
So an email to a DI would be shorter and more direct than you would to a pure I.
Right. If you're going to talk to me in my office, you might expect me to say, kick back and say, let's chat for a minute, right? Mm-hmm. Rather than getting right to the point. On the other hand, if you're sending me an email, don't assume I'm going to be chatty. Assume I'm going to be short and brief and maybe even, dare I say it, brusque, mm-hmm. with the idea that that's the natural tendency of someone. Now, it doesn't always work. It's not foolproof. There are times when you'll send me a short, direct, no-nonsense email, and I'll send back something lively and send you a connection to XKCD or Funnyism or whatever.
Yeah.
Or the Mayan forecast for this week, since we're recording this on the 21st.
Yes. Okay? Yeah, this recording might end suddenly.
Yes, it might.
See, again, you don't need to do necessarily all the high I things, like asking about their weekend right. and talking about people. But if there was some event that you were at together at the weekend, it would be weird not to mention that.
Right.
You just need to do less of it.
Right.
So, in short, think efficient and to the point, less smiley faces, less scroll bars. Just think more D than I.
Yeah, I would generally cut back on the emoticons, the smiley faces and so on. Good. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about high D, high C. Somebody like Mike, that a lot of technical people, a lot of engineers, a lot of software designers, the high D, C is a person who can be both assertive and reserved, but is almost always going to stay task-oriented. All of us have some task and some people and some assertive and some reserved, but the high D, C says, I prefer to have my list, to dot my I's, to cross my T's, or I'm not really thinking about people all that much. If I get the work done, if the work gets done, the people will get take care of themselves. So, when you've got a high DC, how do they tend to skew?
So they tend to do two things. If they're asking a yes, no, or a status question, that's something that can be answered simply, it'll be short.
Yeah.
It'll be very D. It'll be one sentence. Yep. It'll be yes or no.
Okay. Now, if that's about efficiency.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
okay.
I can answer you in one word, so I'm going to. If they have a proposal or something they're trying to explain to you or some kind of an explanation that's required, then it tends to be like a C. So longer, more detail,
organized,
very organized. Exactly.
Yeah, I've seen high D emails that when they go long, it's just one big paragraph, right? Whereas the high C is going to have multiple paragraphs, bullets, underlines, numbers, right? Three key points below. Please refer to that.
Lots of attachments.
Point one refers to attachment one. Point two, you'll notice, is in italics because it relates to attachment two.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
guidance then?
If you're talking about something that's a yes, no, or a status, or something that
fairly
can be
straightforward,
quickly,
operational, day to day.
Exactly. Go short, go high D. If you need to explain something or you're trying to make a proposal, then you need to go longer, more organization, and more detail.
Yeah, and this is a good chance to just remind people, we have a podcast out there about, is your boss a reader or a listener? The high C is a reader.
Mm-hmm.
The high C wants you to send him or her a document in advance that they can read, and then you can come in and brief them. The high D is probably not a reader and wants you to come in and say, I have an idea for this, this, and this. Do you want to know more? Yes. And then they want an email.
Yeah.
So they want to listen first, and then they want to read. The high I Oh, God, don't send me an email. I mean, seriously, don't prepare for a big email to me with multiple parts and everything. Come in, sit down, let's chat about it for 5 minutes, and I'll say, okay, I like it, but I'm worried about this and this and this. Make sure you cover that. Now send me an email. And now I'll read your email. If you send a high eye like me, a long, detailed email with all the points, and I look at it and go, when they're here next, I'll talk. I'll talk to them, and I'll want them to explain it to me. And I'm not saying I'm right. And guys, this is not a recommendation, but I'm telling you my experience with my profile, and many of you have high D, high I bosses. And if you don't know it yet, the higher you get up in the organization, the more high Ds and high Is there are, because high Ds and high Is tend to be more comfortable with risk. And risk is a fundamental part of every executive's life. What I have discovered is if somebody sends me something really, really long, I won't read it. And if they come in and then they can't casually talk about it briefly and be pithy about it, it worries me. Now, there are people who will say, well, some ideas are just too complex to be boiled down. And, you know, whenever I see that, I know some people are going to give me crap. Richard will probably give me crap about this. But I say, you know, it's funny. One of the easiest equations to say, it is really hard to understand, is E equals MC squared. One of the fundamental equations of the 20th century. And Einstein boiled it down to, what is that, three characters, an equal sign and a two?
Mm-hmm.
Big, big important thing, but it can be boiled down. And I think too often there are people who tend to be long-winded. And yeah, that does tend to be the season S's, although sometimes it's guys like me who are high eyes. And what they tend to do is, because they can't deliver it crisply, they throw the kitchen sink at you. They give mm-hmm. you everything. And what that says to executives, guys, if you don't know this, a high DI executive, and sometimes to a high D, high C, is you don't have an organizing idea, or you're not certain of the relative weight of your argument, and so you're going to give us everything. And we want discernment in your argument. And so we want you to be able to talk about it, because for heaven's sakes, it's going to require capital. You're going to have to brief people on it. And then we also want the backup. So for the high D, high C, in this particular case, you've got to be willing to have the detail, but having a conversation as well, you've got to be able to be brief also. Okay, good.
Okay, so high SC skews C. So like the high I
D, right?
The S part.
They skew to the left,
yeah,
to the task side.
The S person wants to get back to their personal conversations and their deepening of relationships. And their emails tend to skew to the C part that's slightly more efficient,
right?
So that they can get through them again.
Yeah, and this is a case where, again, keep in mind, folks, S and C are on the bottom half of the circle, just the opposite of a high D, high I. And an S or a C is always going to be reserved, or almost always. Their tendency is going to be reserved much more often than a DI mm-hmm. or anybody else. And they can either be reserved in a task way, which is the engineer, the accountant, the dot your I's, cross your T's person, or they can be reserved in a people way, which is warm and fuzzy and welcoming and open and great listener and mm-hmm. so on. But they're almost always going to tend to pause before they act, reflect, and think before they decide, be willing to include other people's point of view, be diplomatic about listening to everybody and so on, which doesn't sound like a D or an I to me, but much more so like an S or a C.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, you say they skew towards C.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So they want to get back to those personal conversations and the building of relationships, mm-hmm. so they tend to be more efficient in their email. But they still feel like they should be polite in their mm-hmm. emails. So they're still likely to start with your name. They're still likely to ask how you are. And then there's a sort of middle bit that's about the task that's very
right.
efficient.
Yeah.
And then an end part that's polite. It's kind of like an SCS sandwich.
You know, Mike, when he sends me emails from his high C point of view, when he's engaged in that and we're going through details or something, I have found that I would guess that Mike would say that when he's being high C, he's actually being polite. He's mm-hmm. being correct. He's being proper. He's dotting his I's, he's crossing the T's, which is a form of politeness.
Uh-huh.
It's probably not a warm politeness. It's not a graciousness. It doesn't feel that way. But as we've said before, often high C's are great diplomats because they tend to be, they tend not to show their cards. They're into the details, which often matter when it comes to diplomacy. And they're fairly black and white about what's true and what's not true and what's negotiable and what's not negotiable. And I think S's would say, yeah, that may not have been the warm me, but I certainly was polite. And in no way do I need to be offensive. If you get an email that's correct and accurate, but also has some snark in it, like I'm smarter than you, that's probably a high C, high D.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not a high C, high S, right?
No.
That's the person, that's the technical person who wants everybody to know I'm smarter than you, which is probably not effective in one's career. And I know, because even as a high DI, I've done that before too. When people challenge me, I'm like, oh, by the way, you're wrong. And oh, by the way, you're wrong like three different ways, and I'm right in like seven other ways. Just, and by the way, thanks for writing.
Okay, so if you're going to reply to a high SC, you mm-hmm. probably again need to include a salutation. You might want to say how they are, and then get to the point. Be efficient in the middle part, and then be warm. Warm regard.
Okay.
Those best regards and my best regards. Those are all those high S's.
It's like a sandwich. S.
C. S.
Okay.
Exactly.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Good. And now what about high S, high I?
High S's and high I's, both of their parts are people focused.
On the right hand side of the circle.
Exactly.
The S is a reserved people person. The I is an assertive people person. So they're almost always going to skew toward people.
Yeah.
They may be assertive, they may be reserved, but you're going to bet they're going to tend to be friendly, they're going to be warm and those kinds of things.
Yeah. Okay? So they tend to skew I. So it's all about the people. So,
right.
So buried somewhere in their email about how are you and the people they saw this weekend and the people they met in the corridor this morning mm-hmm. will be one task, and then there'll be another paragraph about mm-hmm. how they remembered this. And
so what that means is if you're my boss and you're a high I, high S, and I know nothing more, and I'm thinking about writing an email to you rather than coming to see you, which probably is what I should do.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's coming to see you. If I choose to write you an email, I'm traveling and I can't get you on the phone or whatever, I'm going to skew high I. Mm-hmm. The guidance here is I'm going to be more peppy, more energetic. I'm going to be more emoticons. I'm not going to go as long and maybe as an S, right?
Mm-hmm.
Take me through it. What do you want me to do in that email?
Yeah, you definitely want to be more peppy and more warm than you would be
with a DRC,
for sure. And you want to talk about the people involved,
right?
So and then when you end, you want to say something nice about that person.
A compliment.
You want to say how lovely it was to work with you, how efficient you've been, something.
No bullets.
Paragraphs.
No.
Of text.
Right. Okay. Long and chatty is okay.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
And you can thank their team, or you can thank them. You know, like, thank you so much for your help on this. I wouldn't have got so far without you. Like, for me, that's really difficult.
Yeah.
You don't actually need to tell an untruth, but find something nice to say that'll make them feel good.
You know, it's funny about that. I think this is the hardest one that I
ask. Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. I actually personally have sort of abdicated on this one, and I just thank people. I'm just as warm and as chatty as I can be, and I don't make a distinction between the assertive or the reserved. I don't think of myself as being a high I when I'm talking to them, although I'm just thinking people. Just focus on the people as much as I possibly can.
Excellent.
If you're a DC and you're sending an email to an I or an S, it's going to feel awkward. Part of this cast is really about suggesting that people not engage in what is natural to them. That's the whole point of our DISC communications training, is speaking a language that the listener understands. The communication is what the listener does. So if you're a high D or you're a high C and you're writing to a high I or S, you can get away with being more of a high I, but it's got to be on the people's side. Otherwise, you're talking in a language that makes sense to you, and in the same way that Mattel misunderstood my no, you're going to have misunderstanding when, in fact, when you're communicating with somebody, let's assume that people want to be understood, if nothing else. You want to be clear about and get your idea across. Okay?
Exactly.
Good. Okay?
So to summarize, pay attention to the emails that you get.
That's there's a treasure trove of information you already have. Yeah. Go look. Don't follow our guidance. It may be that your boss is the one exception, and she's a high IS, and in fact, she's pure S in email. Well, okay, there's your cue. Yeah. Send her nothing but high S emails. Hi, Martha. How are you? Hope you had a great weekend. I'm really excited about this project we've got coming up. So, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to me, as a high D, I'm like going, my eyes out. But if it gets me what I want, and Frank, when I say that, I think there's some people who go, oh, look, he's being Machiavelli, he's getting what he wants. I say, no, I'm treating her the way she wants to be treated.
Exactly.
I'm actually genuinely saying, how should I treat her in a way that's respectful to her? Not in a way that denigrates her and promotes me as being my communication style is right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, who am I talking to and what's the best way for her to be effective in that way? Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Good.
So DI skews D, DC skews D, SC skews C, and SI skews I.
And
about people.
And you've got to be careful about looking at emails from BlackBerries and iPhones and Android devices and so on, because they naturally skew D and I, and really even more D. There's that staccato, short, boom, because you're typing with your thumbs and you're on a train or you're on a, you know, whatever the case, you're not able to be as long-winded as you might be typing at your keyboard.
Yeah. Okay? So we have a bunch of casts on DISC. We have loads of DISC stuff. So, but you don't need to know it all in depth to be better than most people at this. All you have to do is pay attention to the way that people communicate with you and try and be more like them than being more like you.
The fact is, people complain about politics. I'm writing a cast right now about politics. And the fact is, your organization is filled with people. And if you want to get along, if you want to do more well, if you want to do well in your organization, you're going to have to make less enemies and make more friends. And the easiest way to reduce the number of enemies you have and increase the number of friends you have is communicate in a way that makes sense to them, even by email.
Exactly.
Good. Yeah. Thanks. Great one.
All done. Thanks.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Hope you got a lot out of this cast. Join us next week for more good stuff from Career Tools. Until then, have a great week.